How many of you all are truly thankful that your sins are forgiven and you are a part of the kingdom of God? I mean, you're truly thankful about that. Well, you know what? I want to thank you all. If you don't mind, just tell your neighbor thank you. Go ahead and tell them thank you. Because you know what? You all, everybody has been a part this past associational year of sharing the gospel. And I want to pause in just a minute. And it's going to sound weird. If you've never been to church, it's going to sound weird to you. And if you have been to church, I wish this wasn't weird to you. But it's weird to church people more than any other group. That God has really remade us to tell the story of His grace and His love to others. That is the point of following the kingdom of God. And I want to thank you all that 571 human beings have been changed by the grace of God. Because guess what? You decided to say, you know what, Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me. And that is the point of having church. The point is not that we're intellectuals. The point is not that we do a bunch of nice little things for the community. The point is that people meet Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because without that, you die bad. You die hellish. And I want to thank you all this week. It's been amazing to me. Those of you all that participated in God's Stock, what a blowaway weekend. And everybody's been going, Pastor Steve, man, that's the best God's Stock ever. And my comment to you was this, I hope we may say that every God's Stock. I hope that the last God's Stock you went to was the best one ever. But let me tell you why it's getting better. Because some of you all are really getting it. It is about Jesus. And this whole Bible is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. From the very first words, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, what? God. Not in the beginning, Billy Lowe. We'd have been in trouble, Billy. Let me give you some worse trouble. In the beginning, Steve Ayers. In the beginning, Baptist. In the beginning, Methodist. In the beginning, the Catholic. No. In the beginning, God. And guess what? Let me show you something that's going to be kind of neat today. The beginning and the end are just alike. In the end, God. See, after all said and done, it'll be God making the judgment. After all's cleared out, it'll be God who will be in charge. And so I just wanted to give us some heads up. Next week, we'll go back into the church at Corinth. Oh, what a mess we have. And man, Pastor Reynolds, we're going to have a real mess next Sunday, aren't we? Because we got to deal with the sensuality of culture. You know, we Americans think we're the first group of people that have abandoned the principles of God. I just wanted to let you know this has been going on all through human history. We're not progressive. We're not advanced. In fact, we're very ancient in a lot of our behaviors. We're heading. And now, here's what's so sad, though. I'm just going to ask you, if everybody else goes to hell, I'm going to ask you today, decide not to go with them. You know what I mean? There's some times that you just got to say, you know what? I'm not going. I'm just not going. I'm not going that direction. I'm not going that way. I'm not going on that ride. Because, Fainter, here is the beautiful message of Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus really says to us right here, Nathan? In the here and now, you don't have to go to hell. I mean, that's the bottom line message of Jesus. I have come so that you do not have to live in hell. And I believe that means here and later. But I think sometimes we forget it's about here too. That later and here are connected. God is on a continuum of being God. What do you think about that?
We call that in theological circles the sovereignty of God. Doesn't that sound sophisticated?
Which means this: God is. God is. And it simply means God is. That means He is the past, He is the present, He is the future. He is what was and will be at the same time. Now, He allows, took His cool word out, He allows us to connect with His forever. That's pretty neat, isn't it? So you say, what if I'm a forever person, then this question comes in, what do I do right now? Well, first of all, I think realizing that God's in charge ought to do a few things. It ought to calm us down. This has been a very chaotic week in the life of our nation. We've seen a lot of chaos. Am I surprised? Nope. The man asked me the other day, Pastor Ayers, are you shocked? I said, nope. I said, I've lived long enough now and read enough history books and studied enough time. I don't know what this is about human beings, but we're all guilty of it. How many of y'all have seen, just watched another human being do something that was absolutely stupid, absolutely ineffective, and it was so stupid and ineffective, you said, you know what, I think I'm going to try that. Yeah. How many of y'all have ever done that before? Watch this. We're watching in culture things that have already happened. They've been in the past, and now they're in the present. And there's a thing I want to give us heads up and warning on. Now, I know some of you educators that have been through 400 seminars and all of these things. You think this is the right way, but I think we've had enough time to go by on your experiment that if you'll give it just a little intellectual effort, you will find it's not working. And I think a true intellect is able to say when something's not working, that it's not working. And not continue to try to dress the emperor in clothes that they do not have. It's not about us. We've made the church about us. We've made the world about us. We've made marriage about us. We've made children about us. We have put the human being in the center of the universe, and we're collapsing. This started very prominently in America back in the 60s, early 60s, as we began to turn it on self. In fact, I'm going to say something that is going to be radical to most of you. Your self-esteem is the least of your problems. In fact, it is the greatest of our problems. We esteem self above all else. And it is leading to a great collapse. And if you'll think logically, you'll understand why. All of ourselves are temporary at best. What do you think? This God stock was a little bit unusual for me because I was missing some of my brothers and sisters that had been God stock junkies. You say, what, could they not make it? They're in the heavenly realm. We've churched long enough now that guess what we got surrounding us? We got the saints of those that have been with us surrounding us. As I looked out in the Godstock crowd, I mean, I didn't literally physically see these people, so I don't think I'm losing my mind. But Mark, I did see them in my mind. And I saw the journey, and I saw the people of God, and I saw that we are surrounded by those that have understood that Jesus is Lord. So I want to start at Revelation 2. I want to give you just a heads up from the church at Ephesus. We as a church, where do we go from here? Where do we stay from here? What must we stay focused on? And I'm going to give you his name. It is Jesus. And now that sounds simplistic, but guess what? I could argue, and if you put me in the seminary format, I would argue very fervently that one of the least concerns of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is Jesus. We're more concerned about how we impress him than we are if we love him. We're more concerned that we join in all the activity of religion than we really focus on the purpose of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Well, let's look. First of all, he's in charge. He begins to write, if you have a red letter edition, these are all in red letters because who's speaking here? The one that will judge us, the one that is, okay? Revelation 2, starting with verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write. Notice, I just want to point out something here. The angel is writing, not speaking. I remember a few years back, some of y'all got caught up wondering about angels. They're not it. Watch this. Worship's not it. Healing's not it. Intellectual dispensationalism is not it. The discerning of the text is not it. Just making sure that you have a bunch of gobbledygook religious words, that's not it. See, Nathan, we got a lot of things. Now, watch this. Now, this is going to blow you away. This is where you're going to get a little tense. Our fellowship is not it. Our regard for social problems is not it, although all of those are some of it. They're just not it. You see, you got to start right to finish right. Somebody understand what I'm talking about? You got to start right before you finish right. And the problem is, we got a lot of people say, well, it's about me. And you say, well, Pastor Steve, what's the problem? It is about me. No, it's not. Because you see, when you make the world out about the way you feel, and the way you think, and the way you observe, you put us on a temporary situation. Now, when you get into temporary situation, Brooks, you're always changing your mind. Now, Brooks, you're a football fan. If a football coach doesn't have a system, he becomes vulnerable to ever play in the book. How do you notice how good teams never run ever play in the book? They run a few plays really well. The only team that would be an exception to that would be Texas A&M, and that quarterback there can make it up as he goes. But very few people have that ability. You see what I'm saying? Now, here's the good news about Jesus. He's already got it figured out. And he doesn't call us to figure it out. He calls us to follow faithfully. Does that make sense? There's never a command that God says, I want you to figure out all that I am. He says, I want you to be in love with who I am. That's a big difference. And he tells us, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Now here's what God's telling us. I made the stars. I made the lampstands. I am in charge of securing, if you will, look at what that is, illumination. Pretty cool, isn't it? Now, we used the word about 200 years ago. We called it enlightenment. How many of you educators have heard that? Enlightenment. You've studied that. That we are now an enlightened people. I go, really? Really? Let's see what we did with our enlightenment. In science, we became enlightened to atomic energy. What's the first thing we did with atomic energy? We built a bomb to destroy each other. How enlightened are we? You see, the problem is not our enlightenment. It is that nothing will take away our sinfulness but Jesus. All these things you hear about in the world, all the things that TV screams about, all these problems that you hear day in and day out, they stem from one source, sin. Amen. Now, nobody will tell you that. They tell you it's your mom and daddy. They gave you the problem. They tell you it's your grandparents. They tell you it's your poor background. They give you 100 excuses to live in your stuff. And Jesus then comes and he intervenes and he twists the world around on us, literally. And he said, guess what? You got a problem, but I happen to be your solution. You are messed up, but I'm not messed up. And if you will, this is not appropriate English, but I am willing to unmess you. How many of y'all need to be? I know, Kathy, it's not, but it works. How many of you all need to be, if you will, unmessed or demessed? You're so trapped in your mess that you can't see the point of your life. It happens to a lot of us, doesn't it? We get so into our mess that we can't see God's solution. And so, Hillview, here's what I want to tell you. We got to stay focused on Jesus in all that we do. Amen? Now, I want to give us some warning. We got to be careful. I appreciate you guys. I love the way that you're living your faith because a lot of you are willing to take a stand. Does that make sense? I just want you to know I have to take some stands. When I take a stand, then a lot of people don't like me because I've taken a what? Stand. Because guess what? Sin is sin. And I don't get to preach the gospel and say that'll be all right. Now, I can't make you do it. I've given up on this a long time ago. I don't try to change anybody because you know what I've come to realize? Only Jesus can change people. Now, I can give you some good ideas. I can tell you what he says. I can tell you you need to be saved. I can tell you you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I can show you the way, but only you can consciously decide to walk it. I will give you the warning graciously and lovingly. Those who are not with Christ die. And I'm going to give you the good news, though. Those in Christ live. Now, I know some of you are going to go, well, Pastor Ayers, I disagree with you because I believe we have a loving God and He would never do anything bad to anybody. Where do you get that? I'll tell you where you get that. You get that out of an observation from your life based on your emotional feeling. The problem with that, our feelings don't hold up. Now, I'm very scared when we look at the world based on our feelings. Because I don't know about you, but my feelings change all the time. How many of y'all's feelings change all the time? How many of y'all have ever had a two-year-old? They feel everything. Their feelings change constantly. I've noticed that 40-year-olds aren't much different. It's not about what we feel. It's not about what we think. But is it about what God said? I believe it is. Because what God says is. That makes sense? Now check this out, church. We got to stay there. Look at here. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. You know, if an angel was writing to the church at Hillview Heights Church, you know what he could say? I know your deeds. There have been some good deeds in this church. Amen? Now, guess what? And I'm going to tell you, keep on doing the good things. But don't ever let the good things become God. Timmy, I love it when you cook, but we can't cook anybody into heaven. But now we can cook to show them the love of Jesus. See the difference? And you do that, and I appreciate that. We hadn't had one Iron Chef incident out of you. Pastor Mark and I got tickled because I want you to know, I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. And guess what? But I want to commend you as a church. These things are among us. We got some hard workers here. I want you to know that your staff is full of hard workers. I say, finally. I'm pretty blunt and honest. I've had staffs where I didn't have any workers. How many of y'all have ever hired people for a job and they forgot to work? Randall, did you ever have that situation as you were in management? The guy told you, I'm a good worker, Randall. I can work. And you never could find him when the task was there. Any of y'all ever had that problem? Merle, you had about 13,000. No, how many employees? 13,000, wasn't it? 4,600 employees. That's close. 13,4. Hey, it's government numbers. What's a trillion? What's a billion? What's zero? Anyway, did all of those employees, they're just so saturated in education and in the desire for young people to learn and achieve. All of them just gave their best, right? No. Claypool, have you ever been around an auctioneer that didn't auction too well?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Land doesn't sell as well, does it? So I just want you to know, there is value in hard work, good deeds, and perseverance. But they're not the centerpiece. Now, here's what I'm going to encourage you. You make Jesus the centerpiece, and guess what will be a part of that? Hard work, good deeds, and perseverance. You know, a lot of people just think you just kind of float through life. No, you got to work. How many understand work is a good thing? Please, y'all, give me some head nods or something. Wake up to it. It's a good thing. But think about, watch this. We've created a nation, especially in the last 3 decades, we really amped it up, where we're so focused on ourselves, we're more focused on how not to work than we are to work. It reminds me when I was a kid in elementary school, I hated home work. I despised homework. I figured if a teacher couldn't teach it in 6 hours, they shouldn't be teaching. I mean, I only get to preach for 30 minutes a week. You got to go to school, and you got to go. They arrest you if you don't go to school. What if we had that deal in the church? Dr. Blevins, we've had some truant believers. That might be a position we add to this church, a truancy officer. Where have you been in 6 Sundays? Well, I've been what? Busy doing what? My own thing. Isn't that, Gertie, what really happens? How many of y'all get so busy doing your own thing you forget to really be connected to Jesus so you can actually hear His story in your life? Does that make sense? So check this out. He said, I know you did. You've done good. I mean, I can hear the angel talking here, Mark. He said, Mark, you've done good with that BAM team. You've changed oil. You've loved people. You've clothed the naked. You've dug wells. You've been across the world. You started a church in Costa Rica. I mean, there's a lot of good deeds here. There's a lot of hard work here, and I'm not saying stop it. I'm just saying make sure we stay focused on the right thing. And so that would mean this. We can't worship our deeds. Make sense? Y'all know, y'all have seen churches worship deeds. I was going to tell you, Pastor Mark, a few years back, we went into a situation. Lord have mercy. We got off track, and some folks got focused on what they were doing instead of what Jesus was doing through them. I mean, it was awful. On Sunday morning, we were having American Idol, and on Wednesday night, we were having Iron Chef. And people were fighting each other because they want to know who's going to be the best worship leader. I called it diva worship. I'm so thankful for our worship leaders today. We don't have any divas. We don't need divas in the church. Save that for the MTV Awards. If we're cooking for the Lord, then we're just cooking for the Lord, and it's not a cook-off on Wednesday night. Every meal is appreciated, amen? We don't give an award at the end of the year for Top Chef of Hillview. That's on TV. You see, but sometimes we get so caught up in the TV, we want to have lives that are recognized instead of lives that are real. How many of y'all found this? You can be recognized and not be real good. You can be recognized here. Now follow me. Is everybody listening? You can be recognized here. You can be prominent here. And heaven knows not your name. That's why this verse was spoken. It said, was it profit a man? Was it profit a woman? Was it profit a human being to live their whole lives and collect all the things of the world and lose their soul, not be able to go on? And the question's there, what does it profit? The answer to that is, it does not. It's not a profitable way to live. So I want to focus us on where Jesus really wants us to go. These are some heads up. These are some warnings. Continue to do good things. Now listen, there's a key word here. And it's a part of a theology that is very true. Perseverance of the saints. We stay with Jesus till it's over. No matter what anybody else says. Now, I'm just giving you some insight. Don, we will be tested if we live, and we got a shot at living in this. We will be tested to see if we're going to hold up. See, I wonder how many would be here today if this meant your life. Now, let me just help you. You folks who have a discombobulation when the air conditioner temperature isn't right, you're not going to hold up when it really gets real. For those of you who are more worried about where you parked than you are who you worship, you're not going to hold up. I'm going to go ahead and call you out, so if you need to repent, you can repent. For those of you today that during worship was worried more about who was singing than who we were singing about, you're not going to hold up when the pressure comes on. There's going to be a day it's going to come on. It's already on. It's just they're not bold enough yet to draw the line. I'm going to tell you today, your pastor's going to be in a major war with culture when they tell me how I got to do business. Because guess what? The church is going to be the church. And I'm not here to scream at the world. I'm here to show the world Jesus. I'm not here to tell the world how they speak. If you live without Jesus, guess what? I expect you to live like hell. And I just want you to know everybody's doing a good job of it. Without Jesus, all you think about is money, sex, and the next buzz. Sound familiar? Without Jesus, you say everything that Jesus says was. You said, that ain't no big deal. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to think and be smarter than God. Anybody that's going to be smarter than God, you know you're listening to somebody that's not very smart. Because there's always been something before you. And there'll be something long after we're gone. And his name is Jesus. Well, the angel, through the power of the witness, writes, and he says, now, man, I know your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You know, there are times I got to stand up to the false things in the church. In the church. Now, where I'm going to get lit up is when they go on in the church. Somebody hear what I'm saying? I'm not disturbed about homosexuality in the world. In fact, I expect it. But when the church says that's God's plan, then we got problems. Because the church has no authority to say that other than guess what?
Well, I feel like that's the best thing to do. Everybody's doing it now. Let's just all do it. We're that weak-minded in this moment.
Part of it's the flaw of democracy. Just because over half the people agree doesn't make something true. It is very possible that over half the people don't have any sense. Because guess what? To function in democracy, what made our nation great? To function in democracy, you had to be educated. People who are without knowledge don't make good decisions. That's how important education is. Watch this, I'm going to blow you all away. Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. Anybody know what kind of schools those were in the beginning of our nation? They were the academies for the preachers. Boy, they have really changed over a few centuries, haven't they? They don't honor God in those schools anymore. We say, we have become smarter than God. And anytime you become smarter than God, that's not real smart. But he warns us about this. He says, now be careful. Don't get caught up in what you're doing. Look what he says. Look what he says. I hold the candles. I hold the candles. I hold the way. I know where we're heading. I know your works. I know your deeds. I know that you have patiently stood strong. But guess what? That's still not everything. You ready? You have persevered and endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. I just want to give you a heads up. I want to thank you guys for not growing weary. Thank you for not growing weary. It was about 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, I looked at Elizabeth. We were up at the lake, and I said, honey, do you think God's stock's run its course? Do we need to do something else? We need to change it up. And see, I'm glad I married somebody that's got sense. It helps. If you're not married yet, if you marry somebody smarter than you, it's a better deal. And so I'm going on, but I said, I think everybody's gotten tired of it. I think everybody's weary. What it was is I was weary. And it is really, I was weary. And Elizabeth looked at me and said, honey, this has become a moment, a hallmark. And she said, you know, there's places in Scripture that God, she said, what about in the First Testament? You know, there's festivals and there's religious festivals so that you can be reminded of where God has moved. And you know what? And she said, and for us, this has become one of the religious festivals of our community of faith where people have a lot of connection. Amen. Oh, and I said, I guess that means we still need to do it, right? And she said, well, I would. If I had not listened to her, I wish I'd listened to her more, but I listened this time and I evaluated and you know what? Mark, we would have missed almost 1,000 baptisms in 10 years if we hadn't listened. Ouch. But you guess what? Sometimes we miss God's blessing because our weariness outweighs our faithfulness. I mean, if you're going to serve God, you're going to grow weary. How many of y'all have ever grown weary raising children? Come on, I mean, you have one of them weeks, you know. And kids are something else, aren't they? They don't ever act up while you're having a good week at work. No, they always decide to pull a stunt when everybody else is pulling a stunt in your life. Y'all hold on, it'll be all right, though. Don't grow what? Weary. Hillview, I want you to hear that. Don't grow weary. Galatians 6, don't grow weary in doing good deeds. Don't grow weary in doing the things God has called us to. Now, guess what? Are there going to be a lot of people, Jack, that appreciate that you love Jesus? No. No. It's not cool to love Jesus today. I'm just going to tell you right now. It's not cool. It's not hip. It's not fashionable. It's not vogue. It's not... But here, I'll take this one apart in the church. I'm going to anyway next week. Culturally relevant. I'm so tired about hearing about cultural relevance
You know, they say, well, Pastor Ayers, the church of today is not culturally relevant. I said, it's never been culturally relevant. And they said, why? I said, the culture's going to hell and God comes from heaven. The two don't go together. And that's why he says, listen, persevere, hang in there. Hang in there. Be careful. He said, love that, that changes everything. Look what he says. You persevered, yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. Hillview, I want to remind, don't forsake the love you've had at first. Man, I was excited last Sunday, baptisms, because guess what? I saw a lot of you who've been living Jesus for a long time celebrating with those who were just coming in. And you better not forget, you and I one time were without God. Huh? But sometimes we get without God and we get in church so long we forget what it was like when we were without God. If you need some reminders, come see me. I knew a lot of you then. I knew me without God. It is not pretty. How many of y'all know yourself without God? It's not pretty. You know what? Without God, I think like everybody else. Without God, I rationalize sin instead of stand against it. Without God, I make excuses instead of try to move on through things. Make sense? Without God, I don't last long. But with God, we endure forever and ever, what? Amen. Them angels are about forever, ever. Amen. That's one of their songs. Yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. That means this love of Jesus is very important. It's the center point. Love Jesus. He's everything. And don't fall away from loving Jesus. And if you get up in a bunch of religious deeds and just a bunch of religious exercises and Jesus is not involved in it, he says, stop and center yourself back on Jesus. Amen? Repent. So listen, if you've forgotten about Jesus today, I ask you to repent and say, Lord, you know, I made a mistake. I've gotten caught up in what I do for you instead of who you are in me. Jesus, lover of my soul. Don't ever forget that song. Jesus, lover of my soul. Here's what I love about Jesus. He'll love the hell out of you and then allow you to love the hell out of others. You can't do that without who? Jesus. Without Jesus, guess what? You just sit around and try to make hell all right. Think about it. That's what we do. That's what we do as a culture. Well, how do we take this stuff we know that is harmful and make it work? Isn't that the way we get addicted to stuff? This ain't going to hurt me. Really? You're smoking Drano.
Come on.
I bet it's got an effect. It's about as silly as I heard the NFL players suing the NFL saying they weren't aware of the seriousness of concussions in the game of football.
Come on.
I played football for a long time. Jeff, you play football, you hit each other. Amen? Or at least you used to. They're trying to take that away now. We want to make sure that we... One day we'll be watching the NFL and we'll just hold up a little card where we should have been tackled. I could have tackled you here, but I choose not to tackle you so that I will not harm you so you won't get a concussion. We're softer than candy. Now here's what we think. We think it's not going to be harmful. These things I commend you for taking a stand. I commend you for your hard work. I commend you for your perseverance. But don't let what you do get above what God is. That's what he's telling them. You get away from what God is you've fallen for a great height. You've forgotten who made it all possible. Hillview Heights, I want to tell you, listen, God's done some amazing things in this church. And it's just like I said, God's done it. May we never get impressed with who we are, but may we always be amazed by who God is in us. I was amazed Saturday night as I looked out of God's stock and saw who God was in many of you. But it's who God is. You know, and I love our staff. Our staff here, I just want to tell you, man, they love you all, but they love God more than anything else. And they're the great, listen, this is one of the most highly skilled staffs I've ever had in this church, and it's the most humble. You know why? They know who it is. Jesus. How many of y'all glad we get to worship today?
Mark, you get to do sound today. You know, I get to participate with God. I don't got to, I get to. You see, that's when you realize, Grace, I get to. I get to. I think the churches will be full one day. As soon as they're outlawed, everybody will want to go. That's what I love about Americans. How many of y'all have never been thirsty, and as soon as somebody told you they didn't have any water, you wanted to drink immediately? This is the way we are. Note this. I'm going to wrap it up. Let's head into the fall, and let's keep telling it about Jesus. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. They denied Jesus. They denied Jesus. When you deny Jesus, I want you to know, when you deny Jesus, we do not worship the same God. Amen. Is everybody clear on that? There's a big difference in a God who dies on the cross and rises from the grave and forgives people, and a God who makes you do five different things on a daily basis so that you might be saved. That is not the same God. It is not the same God. Yeah, about five, six of you agree they don't go together. Amen. And as much as you try to bend them together, they're still not going to fit. Because he who walks among the lampstands made the lampstand and the light that lights them. And what he says is, and what we say might be. But remember that. What he says is what we say might be. You better listen to the is, who is the Lord. Whoever hears, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. There is an absolutely sellout to the power of the Holy Spirit. So you don't know about Jesus except it comes through the Spirit. And if you don't listen to the Spirit, you'll be deceived by the world. Here's what the world tells us. We're not pretty enough. We're not thin enough. We're not wrinkle-free enough. Y'all seen that Life Lift commercial? Lord, you think is gospel. There's Debbie Boone, light up your life. I got my life lived. That means they got your wrinkles out. Now, you might look better, but guess what? All that means is this, is you're going to die wrinkle-free. But you're still dead. I guess everybody can walk by the casket and go, ooh, they look good. I just want you to know, I ain't never seen anybody looking good over there. Well, I'm closing my lid. I told Elizabeth, I want people walking by me. Ooh, you look good. Coming up to Elizabeth, boy, he looks good. He's finally shut up. We've never seen him quite. And I'll tell you what. Do you see, once again, we spend billions of dollars trying to achieve on the outside what only Jesus Christ can do on the inside. Jesus. So be careful. Now, if you've got one of them life lifts, you're not going to hell or anything. It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, look at how excited we get about getting our wrinkles out. But we don't focus a whole lot on Jesus getting the wrinkles out of the bride of Christ. And Bart, truly, Christ is the life lift. It's the only way we can be lifted into living, man. And he says, celebrate me. And he said, now he who has ears, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious. How many of y'all want to be victorious? I don't know about you, but I like winning. How many of y'all like winning? I like winning. We finally won a football game Friday night, and I felt better Saturday morning. I hate losing. Anybody here hate losing? I mean, I hate it. I hate it with a passion. I know it's not appropriate anymore. Everybody's supposed to participate, and it's just supposed to be wonderful. That's a bunch of bunk. I remember coaching four-year-old soccer. Four-year-olds were a lot smarter than those PhDs that created the non-competitive system. And four-year-olds were smart. They figured out who could run faster and who could score more. And every four-year-old could tell me the score of the game that we weren't keeping score on. You know why? Because God created inside of us a desire to be victorious. And you can't deny that, nor can you educate it out of people. Somebody gonna win. Well, who wins? To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You know what Jesus says? I love you. I love you so much, I've died for you. I love you so much, I got up on the third day. I love you so much, I have claimed you a part of my kingdom. Stay with me. Don't leave me.
Even when it gets tough, don't leave me. Even when it looks like too much work, don't leave me. Even when it feels like it's unbearable, don't leave me, says Jesus. Stay by my side, and when it's all over, you will be victorious, and you will eat from the tree of the life, and you will live with me forever. How many of y'all believe that to be absolutely the word of God? There it is. And so, if you let Jesus keep on winning. Let Jesus keep on winning. And I'll tell you where my theology is. And love don't win. Jesus wins. Now, soon to be Reverend Dr. Reynolds, I understand that love is in the essence of Christ, but there's also more essence to Christ than that. Like truth. Amen. Like righteousness. Like glory. Like forever. God's got a lot of stuff. He's not one element. He is all elements in one God. So follow who? Jesus. So if you need that today, listen. Now, you can't be centered on Jesus till you get saved. Doesn't that make sense? How many of y'all trying to live righteous without salvation? How many of y'all have ever tried to charge a battery that was dead? And it was going to be dead. And it's dead. Freddie, you ever had that happen? If it's got a dead cell in it, will the battery charge? What if you get one of them super duper $500 battery chargers with the big clamps and you turn it on 60 amps? What happens to it? It's still dead. You know why? It's dead. And some of y'all going, well, I don't know why I can't be good. You're dead. I tried to do good work. Dead. But let me tell you how you can do good works. First, you got to be forgiven. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm dead. I need you in my life. Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Now, some of you say, well, am I going to be perfect as soon as I start following Jesus? Nope. But you're going to be forgiven. You're going to be full of God's love. You're going to be full of God's possibilities. How many of you can say this? Once I receive Jesus in my life, I'm getting better. That's my story. I'm getting better. Am I perfect? No. Do I still sin? Don, I still sin. Do you do it too? People pull out in front of me. I wish I could tell you. I said, bless them, Lord. Sometimes, but I'm getting better. I don't get out of the car anymore. Especially not in these times. See what I'm saying? How many of y'all getting better? So if you're new at the church, if you're looking for perfect pastors, we don't have them here at Hillview Heights Church. If you're looking for perfect singers, we don't have perfect ones. If you're looking for perfect people, we have a few that think they are. That's about the extent of it. Most of us come to our first love and we realize without Jesus, all I can find is hell. But in Jesus, I am beginning to see the kingdom of heaven each and every day I live. So today, here's what I'd ask you to do. Lord Jesus, I'd ask him, I'd say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave, and I believe you'll change my life. For those of you that are following Jesus Christ, as I went through this, how many of y'all have been captured by some other things other than Jesus? I would evaluate those things. I work a lot with addictions. Well, here's what causes addictions. We get captured by a substance, whatever that substance is. Maybe coffee. You know, for Pastor Jamie, it's Twinkies. You know, poor Pastor Jamie, when the Twinkie place went bankrupt, he laid in his office like the prophet Jeremiah, prone, praying that somebody would buy the Twinkie factory. He even considered it himself. He was going to call them Ward's Rewards. Isn't that right, Jamie? That may not be absolutely true there, all right? Yeah. We all got something. Here's what Jesus says. I want you to give me your something so I can give you my kingdom. I don't know about you. I don't have a greater message than that. Y'all got a greater message than that? I don't have a greater message than that. I want you to really win and it stays with you. You know, Brooks, a few years ago, Auburn, they were winning everything, right? They won last night. I know you got your shirt on. But they struggled. We all struggle. But you guess what? Next year, nobody cares that they won last night. Or lost. In fact, nobody even knows. On our win and loss record, guess what we care about? Right now. Guess what Jesus says? Win forever. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I invite you to come. If you've never been baptized, I really would get baptized. You know why? Whose team are you on? Well, if you are, then do what Jesus says. I mean, it's just as plain as that. I mean, and if I tick you off, listen, stick around, I'll tick you off again. Don't be real upset about that. I'm serious. Do what Christ says. Follow him faithfully in baptism and then step forward and let's live this life together. Amen? It's really that real. I thank you all for living it. I just want you to know that Elizabeth and I, we really, 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 really enjoy being a part of this congregation. And I really mean that, a part of the congregation, not just a pastor. I'd be out of the ministry now if I had to do all the games that a lot of my colleagues have to do. I wouldn't do that. But man, I thank you guys for being a group of people who love Jesus more than anything else. And let's stay there. Amen, Sarge? And that means everything we do, we got to say, Jesus, am I loving you in this? I found this out when this doesn't happen much, but sometimes like if I clean the house up and I just clean it up, Ann, you know, just cleaned up. Elizabeth comes in and she goes, why'd you do that for? I just did it for you. Used to, she'd go, what do you want? And I said, honey, you may not believe this, but this time I actually don't want nothing. Now, I'm not guaranteeing you every time I do that there won't be a catch, but this particular day, there's not. But really, we need to follow Jesus like that. Lord, I just love you. I don't want anything. You've already given me everything I need. I just want to love you and see what happens. Amen? Y'all remember this from God's stock, a drop of grace will change everything in your reality. A drop. You know, everybody wants to get under the glory spout. You used to hear that. I used to hear that back in the 80s. Well, Lord, preacher, that was good, but I tell you, one day we're going to stand under the glory spout and it's going to fly. I thought, what in the world? I said, y'all ever read the Bible? You're so American. You don't need more. You're not even using what you got. How can God give you something more when you won't even activate what you got? You won't even do the first thing he told you. Go share your faith with others. And you want to do super flips and heal everybody and, you know, storm the gates of hell. You won't even do the first thing he said. How do you expect to be in the special forces when you won't even be a good foot soldier? You know why a lot of people in the kingdom of God want all that stuff? So they can be recognized. And you know what Jesus says in Ephesians 2? Gotcha. If I am recognized, then the world is revived. If you're recognized, it won't last long. Make sense? Now, y'all pray for me. Y'all, this sermon makes sense to you all. Would this sermon make sense to you when you was 20? Been a little harder sermon, wouldn't it? You're going to be looking at me going, yeah, preacher, you know, I got to make it. Well, here's what I'm saying. Jesus already made it in you. Amen. Let's stand together. Y'all been more than lovely. Wow. What a great day. Lord Jesus, I pray as we open this altar up, we'll come and pray that you will always be our first love. You will never be second, third. Lord, you won't be just something we add onto our lives, but your reality will become our life. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he wants to have one with you. So I'm just praying right now. If you've recognized today you need to be saved, ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, come in and change me. I love you. I love you, Jesus. If you've been following Jesus and maybe you've never shared your faith, this would be a good time to come down and say, Lord, let me love you enough to share you with somebody else. Let me love you enough, Lord, to be faithful. Let me love you enough that I want my deeds to be good and not just my deeds, but your deeds. So, Lord, let me participate in what you got going on. Amen?
I need y'all to do something. We got to pray for this city. Watch this. Start with your neighborhood, your house, your neighborhood, and let it work out from there. And eventually it gets all over the nation. Amen. So let's start now by loving Jesus with all our heart, mind, soul, and body. Amen. This altar's open. Will you come and pray? And just come and pray. God, touch people. God, move people in this service, in the services we'll have the rest of the day. Pray that you love Jesus more than you do anything else. Just pray right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.